Welcome everyone to another episode of Slasher Scotty. This is the first Slasher Scotty interview in almost a year because I've been busy with grad school. I am on spring break, but I don't get a break, unfortunately, because I've been still doing midterms and all that. But anyways, I have on my show, please welcome Jiggy Lookback. He's a YouTuber, Banjo-Kazooie super fan. Hell, he is a Nintendo super fan.
Heck yeah, I am. What an
Yes,
intro. I should
absolutely.
also add a Donkey Kong 64 Defender.
There you go. There you go. Oh my God, Donkey Kong is awesome and Mario is awesome, and I'm so glad we're doing this interview because Mario, so Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door was announced for 2024 last year, and it finally was released on Mario 10 as giving a release date, which is May, I think it's 23rd.
May 20. I think I'm confirming that, like, I'm 100%. Yes, that sounds right.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it was May 23rd. I just did my pre-order. It's a little pricey for a remake. I do have the original on the GameCube, which is
Classic,
awesome.
super
But
expensive.
I had the same one since it released, so maybe $50 when it released. Now it goes for well over $100.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think the cheapest I've seen it is maybe 200.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah,
a pretty pricey one.
it's pretty pricey. Yeah, so but I have that, and I had to get the remake. I mean, I love the game, and I want to support the game because I love Paper Mario, the Origami King, but I don't like the battle system. Paper Mario
Yeah.
was so good. It was so perfect.
That traditional battle system, Paper Mario 1, Paper Mario 2, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. There's just
Yeah.
something about it. It's just special. It's kind pulling, or it's hanging off of that Super Mario RPG era and kind of
Yeah.
that. I love that. Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, also great. Partners in
Yep.
Time, even better.
Yeah, and Thousand Year Door is so dark. It is so dark. I mean, how do you say that a game is not dark when there's a noose literally at the beginning of the game in the middle of the town?
It's got a spooky atmosphere.
Yes, but it's a great game. It's one of my favorites of all times, along with Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie. Banjo-Kazooie was always ahead of Banjo-Tooie for me, but since I met you, Banjo-Tooie has, I think, taken the lead.
I can only hope that is my influence, my contribution to society. I have to fight for Banjo. I don't know why I feel this compulsion to fight for Banjo-Tooie specifically. I'm always like, yes, Kazooie's great, but have you played Tooie?
Right.
Okay, have you played it? It's one of those things. As a kid, I love Banjo-Kazooie. Don't get me wrong. Like, Banjo-Kazooie, as far as I'm concerned, it's a 10 out of 10 game. It's perfect.
Right.
Okay, Banjo-Tooie, I can acknowledge has flaws. There's some design flaws, but I just look at this game. I'm like, okay, it's not perfect, but the elements that it has that I love about Banjo-Kazooie, it does better.
Yeah.
Like, so how do you wrestle with that? I'm like, I ended up, I think I gave Banjo-Kazooie on my scale like a 9 out of 10, and I gave Tooie a 9.5. And that
Nice.
was how I justified it. I'm like, I don't think I've ever handed out a 10. I was like, Kazooie's like, you can't fault it. But there's things I like more about Tooie, and I'm just like, I gotta put it above it. It's my skill. I can do what I want.
Yeah,
But oh
absolutely.
man.
And for those that are listening to this and watching this, if you're watching on YouTube or if you're listening on all the audio podcasting platforms, you just got a glimpse of how we're gonna geek out over Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, Mario, and all the fun stuff. But before we go right into that, you do have a defending Banjo-Tooie video on your
I
YouTube
do.
channel, Jiggy Lookback. So before we go into that and all the fun videos that you do, why don't you tell everybody about your channel, where they can find your channel, and what is it about?
Okay, let's start at the beginning.
All right.
So I made this YouTube channel in 2022. The reason being, I actually was watching a lot of videos on YouTube. And I've kind of always wanted to do YouTube. I've kind of always wrestled with the idea. I've tried a few different things, but never really found like a niche, like something that I really could latch onto. And then I was watching a video. It was specifically by Press A, if you know who that is. Which, great guy. Like, no knock at all to the guy. But his opinions were the opposite of mine. Mm-hmm. And especially when it particularly came to Banjo-Tooie and Donkey Kong 64. Mm-hmm. And Donkey Kong 64, for me, although I would say Banjo-Tooie is my favorite N64 game of all time, Donkey Kong 64 is like that game that it was my first game that I ever, like, it was mine, right? It was the first one I ever owned. I have a tremendous amount of nostalgia for it. It's not bias. It's just, that's, I just have this thing, you know, I can acknowledge the flaws in it again, but I love it so much. And I see the value in it. I see the charm. I see the characters, even from an outside perspective. You know, I look at this thing and I'm like, how do you not think this is a good game? Like, it's got so many elements. Sure, it's got some flaws. I was like, but how do you put a video out on the internet saying it's awful and it killed a genre and it did all these things? It's got the DK rap. I mean, what more? Like, it doesn't take itself seriously. It's such a goofy thing. So I'm like, you know what? I don't like this guy's opinion. I'm going to put my own positive spin. I was like, I'm going to, you know, try to work past my bias and I'm going to give an accurate review. I was like, I'm going to do a long play of this game, start to finish, but I'm going to analyze and review every single aspect of this game. And an hour and a half later, that's where you get with that video, which became the first analyzing everything, which started my channel. So I do, since then I've grown, I do retrospectives, which is my analyzing everything. I do kind of game theory style videos. It's really about any game, character, or world that I feel compelled to do, but I do focus a lot on Rareware and Nintendo 64 because it's just where my heart is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I do a bunch of Banjo-related stuff, Conker-related stuff, a little bit of Mario, a little bit of Sonic thrown in there. I love Sonic too. It's in the background.
Mm-hmm.
The name is actually kind of funny because immediately going by the name, you think, oh, Banjo Channel, which yes, I was going for that. But I actually, you know, it started out, I didn't have Banjo Con. I had Donkey Kong content before Banjo. But I went with the Jiggy look back for a few reasons. One reason is I actually was formerly the Studly Gamer on Twitch. And I played horror games. Okay. And my whole thing was like being like kind of Luigi-esque, where it's like, I'm actually scared and I'm playing these games. And like, I like horror games, but I'm a baby. And so I'd just be like the Studly Gamer, but I'd be like, you know, shaking and like, all right, let's do it, you know, and push through it. But I started, like, at one point I expressed my love for Banjo-Kazooie and it just started regurgitating out of me. And I just started talking about all these Rare games and things like it naturally devolved from this Studly Gamer persona. And I stopped that. And then I reemerged on YouTube. It was a rebirth, if you will. And when I was doing that, I was playing Banjo-Tooie.
Nice.
And I was like, man, I got to think of a name. I was like, I definitely want to be like some sort of like retro, like retrospective, like reviews and analyzing and all that stuff. And I'm like, so I came up with the look back part and I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. Could I put a word in front of that? Like what's something that would mean something? And then I was thinking about all the games and like, well, Banjo, I was like, it could be like, I was like, banana, that sounds stupid. I was like, and I was like, Jiggy, oh, it's Jiggy look back. That sounds pretty good. And then I went with it. And then I was like really looking in and dialing into Jiggy Wiggy, because that's the point where I was at in Tui, Jiggy Wiggy's temple. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Jiggy look back, all one word. And nice. So I kind of joke, I'm like, Jiggy Wiggy's my papa. It's kind of like a little inside joke, but yeah. Right. So that's how I came up with the name and the reason for the channel. And since then it's just grown exponentially and keeps growing every day.
Nice.
So
yeah,
it's pretty wild. I like to have people that I personally watched, like I recently just had Boundary Break comment on my defending DK64 video. And he was like, thank you for providing a counterweight to the public opinion about this game. And I was like, you bet. I was like, I love your videos, because Boundary Break was that I don't know if you've ever seen Boundary Break. Shout out to Boundary Break, because I love those videos. It's so cool to see outside of the borders of maps and games. And he does a lot of Banjo stuff too. It's really cool.
Yeah, I love, like, I mean, when I, like, I'm in bed with my fiance and we're just watching YouTube or whatever, and he's on his phone and I'm on my phone, and I'm just, he's watching whatever he wants to watch, and he finds really good stuff that he likes, that he really likes, and there's a lot of it on there. And I'm like, he's like, what's going on over there with you? And I'm like, I can't find any more good Banjo content or Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door content. Like, I'm looking for this content, and there's not as much as everything else out there. Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's not as much. And then I met you on Reddit, of all places. And I don't even think I messaged you on Reddit. I just saw you post in a Banjo group I'm in, or subreddit or whatever that I'm in. And you posted the thing of hashtag bring Banjo back. And I went to your profile and I on Reddit and I found your Twitter, which, God, I'm a stalker. I found your Twitter and I messaged you on Twitter. That's
the spiral.
Right. I messaged you on Twitter and we just clicked. We just really clicked. And then I joined your Discord and we private messaged. We talked. We became buddies. And I was on your tier list, you know, for your channel. I have you on Slasher Scotty. And it's just, it's great how this all happened, because I found so much Banjo content on your site. I'm like, this is the hidden gem I've been looking for.
You know, it's pretty cool, because I've had a couple people say something similar, where they're like, man, they're like, the Banjo community needs more vocal people like you that can make these type of videos to, like, really just generate some buzz around Banjo. Which is totally my goal. That's all I want to do, is just bring awareness for these games. And not that Banjo particularly needs, like, someone like me to come in and say, oh, it's a good game. Like, everybody knows it's a good game, but it's just, you know, it's just bringing something new to the table that maybe hasn't been done before. And when I say that, like, yes, I have retrospectives. Yes, I give my thoughts. I analyze everything, but I also have, like, theories. Like, I have a video where I talk about the immeasurable power of Banjo's backpack. Like, it's like, totally kind of out of the box stuff that I don't know how I came up with it or where my brain, like, pulled that out of anywhere, but that's just, it's just me regurgitating my thoughts. Like, I have a thought one day, I'm like, oh, that'd be a cool video, and then I formulate a video, and it's cool. But I, like, I often think to myself, what would I have wanted to watch on YouTube when I watch YouTube? Like, what would I want to watch? And that's kind of, my content separates itself a little bit, you know.
I always thought, and I don't think you did these videos, but I always thought there would be three really good videos that would be great about the Banjo community. One, the backstory of Gruntilda.
Oh, that's interesting.
What is her backstory? Where does she get the magic? Like, we know all the grunty facts from Gruntilda. What is Gruntilda's backstory? What is her? How did her relationship with Gruntilda become so vile that she wanted to take her down?
Can I add something to that right now? I have heard, I don't know where this is from, but I have heard that Mumbo and Grunty had the same teacher. Okay. Either they had the same teacher and knew each other, or Mumbo was the teacher, but I think they were both students of the same, like, magical master. And so that's really interesting to me. And that could be a super cool rabbit hole to go down to. Like, dang it. Another video.
And that was going into my second point of maybe, like, a two-parter, where the backstory of Gruntilda and then ending it with her and Mumbo kind of, like, having that same teacher. And then how did Mumbo and Gruntilda become so bad that Mumbo sides with Banjo and Kazooie? Is that a mask, that skull, or is that his face, or is his face deformed and he wears that as a mask? Did she put it into the shape of a skull?
Yeah.
Like, you know, things like that.
Yeah, because I've heard that his head is actually, like, cursed by Grunty, and that's why it's a skull, but otherwise he looks like a Jinjo underneath, is what I heard.
I didn't hear that part. That's cool. And that was my third point, was the history of the magicalness, I guess, if that's the word it is now, of the Jinjos. Because in Banjo-Kazooie, Grunty's Revenge, you have that oracle, right? And supposedly that's supposed to be a Jinjo, I guess, that died, and it's its soul or something like that. So maybe that's where it all started, but what is the history of these creatures known as the Jinjos?
Yeah. What is a Jinjo?
What is a Jinjo? Is it an alien? Is it a bear? Is it a gummy bear? You know?
I like the idea of a gummy bear. That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's supposed to be, in my mind, there's supposed to be like some sort of elf-like woodland creature, you know?
Yeah.
Like just a magical little creature that lives there. But it's like, what?
Yeah. I'm so annoyed because I think I told you this. I bought four Banjo-Kazooie figurines, the total like $200. I got the 2D one, I got the Mumbo Jumbo one, I got the Banjo-Kazooie one, and I ordered a Jinjo one. And the Jinjo one came in, and that was the most expensive one that I bought. It was 50, like a little over $50. And I freaking got something from The Witcher, the movie or TV show The Witcher.
Oh no. Wait.
Yeah.
Instead,
I didn't get the Jinjo, and instead it would deliver it, and it was no Jinjo. It was The Witcher.
Oh, I do like The Witcher, but it's hard to not be disappointed.
Yeah, I paid $50. I never saw The Witcher, which is shocking because I'm horror, but I wanted the Jinjo one, and I got the
Witcher.
Oh,
man. Yeah, those Jinjos, the U2's figures you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Because, yeah, the Jinjo had like five color variants.
Yes.
And that's the only reason why I never jumped on the Jinjo, because I want them all. Yeah. and they're pretty expensive. They're pretty pricey. Yeah. But I do have that I picked up on the rare store. Hang on.
All right, let's see it.
Which I don't think you mentioned.
Oh, I don't have bottles on the rare store.
Yeah, it was an exclusive on the Rareware store online. I'm not sure if he's still available, but it said limited edition. So immediately I'm like, well, I'm going to buy this.
How much was that, if you don't mind me asking?
34, maybe?
Actually, not that bad. That's basically the average of what all my figurines cost a piece. The Jinjo was the most expensive for $50, and I didn't even get the Jinjo.
Yeah.
But I bought them on Amazon, too, so I didn't buy any of them from the U2s or whatever store. I bought them right from Amazon.
I bought all of those from the U2 store except for bottles, which was a rare store exclusive.
What ones do you have?
Okay. Hang on. Let me grab all of them.
Yeah, sounds good.
So we'll start with the Banjo ones. So I'm not like super, it's so funny because you look at the thing behind me and you think that guy collects a lot of crap. I don't even have a lot of figures. There's just like certain game series that I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy that.
Yeah.
And Banjo's one of them. And so I have 2D, obviously.
That's the one I have. Yep.
Yep. I think I have all the same, except I have bottles in addition. Mumbo, which honestly, Mumbo's my favorite.
Yeah.
I think Mumbo's the coolest one.
Yeah. I love Mumbo.
And then I got this Banjo.
Yep. I think that's the one I got.
There's also one where he's like, laying on the ground like that.
Okay, I didn't know that. I don't
and
have
then
that one.
Bottles. But I do have, continuing the Rareware trend, picked up Conker. So that it's War Conker with the dual guns. Teddies.
That's cool.
Hate those guys. And this is the cream of the crop. For my U2's figures, this is the cream of the crop. Okay, this is the one that it's limited edition. I had to buy G Fuel, a special G Fuel box that was way more expensive to get it.
Mm-hmm.
The G Fuel is flavored. This character, it's very interesting.
Okay.
The Great and Mighty Pooh.
Ooh.
So I love this one.
I really love that.
And then recently, because they just announced it on the store, like, I guess it's been a while at this point, but I got it not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Rayman.
Oh, nice.
So nice. Those are all the ones I have, but I was like super pumped.
Nice.
Great Mighty Pooh was most expensive.
Nice. Sure. Yeah. I'm thinking of like, I'm going to probably go on the U2 store and actually buy the Jinjos. See how much they are. If they're $50, I'll buy it one more time. If they give me the Witcher, well, they gave me the Witcher because it was on Amazon. So it might have been a third-party seller.
Gotcha.
I don't, I don't know, but I'm gonna actually go to the YouTube store and buy the Jinjos. I don't trust Amazon for those anymore.
Yeah, when you got it, they're expensive too.
So they are. Like I said, the Jinjo one cost me the most, and that was like $50.
Yeah, I've been wanting to get the, honestly, the Jinjo plushies over the U2's figures. Nice. I do like the U2's figures like a little bit more, but the plushies are
nice. Where do you get those at?
I think they're on the Rare Store. Apparently. Either Rare Store, they might be on Fangamer, actually.
Okay.
If you know what that is.
I don't think I know. I heard of that one.
But yeah, Fangamer has a lot of cool like Banjo stuff on it. And
they
did like a collaboration with Rare, I think. So they're like officially licensed stuff.
Oh, nice.
I have a hat that I got from there somewhere.
Nice. I got for my birthday back in December, I got this really, I might have put it in the Discord, this really large Banjo, I mean, Mario Bros. Movie poster. And I put
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
Huge. Like, I am the only place I could, it doesn't fit up in any of these, like, on this section all the way around because it's just too big. And I have this shelf here, so it doesn't work. But I'm probably going to put it right above this, like right on this, the same side, but on the steps where it goes upwards.
Yeah, that would look cool. Thinking
of getting another poster and make it look like a movie theater coming down. Like,
yeah, that would be awesome.
So I might do that.
Yeah. I got to, okay, let me show you what I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
Really quick here. So, so I got this and I ordered it a long time ago, but it finally came in and pretty cool. It's got your old pal on it, who I know has been on the show.
Oh, nice.
So this is the, this is actually just the poster.
Nice.
But it's signed by Grant Kirkhope. It is the Banjo-Kazooie rejiggied vinyl press. I went with, for those who don't know, Grant Kirkhope, who has been on your show, is the composer for pretty much all the Bangin' Rare games. Not all, I mean, a lot of them. Banjo-Kazooie for sure, and Donkey Kong 64. But I got it to look like the spring pad.
Nice.
I got the like green.
I got that same spring pad coaster, and I got one of the flight disc.
Classic.
Yes,
yeah, I think I saw those. They were really high quality too.
Yeah, they came out really good. Like, where did I get those at? On Etsy. I got those on Etsy. Etsy is literally my addiction now because like anything I
it's
need.
It's dangerous.
It is very dangerous. I got a this thing actually comes in handy. It wasn't that expensive, and it really came in handy. I got a Mario hook. And I hung it on my wall right by the steps, and I put my car keys on it.
Can I tell you something? This is like, so Grant Kirkhope wrote out like messages to fans and stuff. Like on the posters, he wrote different ones like "gahuh" and stuff and things like that. And I was hoping I would get one of those variants that he did, but I did get something cool with mine.
What'd you get?
And I think it was a mistake.
Uh-oh.
So I got this poster. And then I got this poster. I got two.
Oh, nice.
And so I'm like, do I give this away? I'm thinking when I hit like 10,000 subscribers, I may give one away.
What are you at now?
5,000.
You know what you should do? When you hit 10,000, get a list of the pool and do it on the spin wheel. I guarantee you I'll win.
Yeah. Oh, that's bull crap. All right. For those who don't know, I did a buddy of mine. We do a little podcast called Remember 64. It's his podcast, and I just kind of join on and live vicariously. But I started co-hosting because anyone who asks me to talk about Nintendo 64, I'm just going to come on and talk about Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
So I just started showing up like every podcast. He's like, are you my co-host now? I'm like, I guess I am. So we did like a special live stream where we just played. I don't remember what we were playing. Maybe Mario Golf or something. I don't know. We were playing N64 online. And we did like a giveaway wheel where We put their names, we put people's names in, and then they'd win a prize if the wheel landed on them. And how many times did you win?
I think you stopped me at three.
There wasn't like only two people. Like there was at least, I would say there was probably like 15 people at least
15, 20 at least. Yeah.
And you won like in a row several times. I'm like,
three times in a row, I won Yooka-Laylee the game for the Steam. Good. I won the magazine.
Oh yeah, a Nintendo Power.
Nintendo edition. Power magazine and the stick, the Remember 64 sticker, which is on my vanity mirror in the corner. I love it. And there's something else I won. I can't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head, but and then you stopped me. You're like, you can't win anymore, Scotty. Like,
yeah, I had to take his name. I had to take his name off the wheel because he won, but it was like in a row too. It was like,
yeah, it would be different if it was like maybe once an hour or, you know, once every like 30 minutes, maybe it popped up, but it was like three times in a row. And then the fourth time you're like, no, I can't give you this. I'm sorry, buddy, but I can't do it.
Yeah. I was being as good of a sport because if that happens, I'm like, in my mind, you deserve to get that prize because what are the odds of that happening?
Right.
And it kept happening. And I don't know what that wheel, like, it never did that again. It never did that with anyone else. It only did that with you. So I just associate that with, like, wow, that was really lucky. And you can have all those prizes. But I had to cut you off because I was like,
I was someone else fine with that. I was just losing it laughing. And then one of your mods in the Discord, I forget his name off the top of my head, the remote controller dude.
Oh, random computer.
Yes.
Random flying computer.
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Shout out to a random flying computer. Thanks for being a mod.
Yes, and he's a really cool kid. And he ended up messaging me and he's like, you won. And I'm like, did I really? Because I was doing homework at the time. I'm like, did I really? He's like, yeah. So I'm like, oh, I forgot the stream was happening. I had everything on Do Not Disturb. I just checked my phone and I saw you said I won. So I hopped on and then I won again. And then I won again. I'm like, holy crap. And then I won again. And you're like, I'm going to have to take your name off. I'm sorry, Scotty. I can't give you this one. I'm going to have to spin again with your name off and then keep your name off. I walked for a little bit.
You won a fourth time and I had to stop it. Is what happened. I was thinking I stopped it after three, but no, we hung in there.
Yeah,
I still was
won a fourth time, but you told me that you were going to respin and take my name off because I couldn't win four times in a row because I was basically winning every prize at that point.
That point, we had like so many prizes and you won like a majority of them. I'm like, all right, like, sorry, I got to cut you off. But they're pretty good prizes. We had a lot of game keys, like Steam game keys, which is cool. I think I gave away a copy of Diddy Kong Racing.
Okay.
And that was cool. I think we might have given away a copy of Perfect Dark too. All authentic N64, so it was just kind of fun.
Did you guys like purchase them yourselves or did you just have sponsors that got them for you or how did that work?
Oh no, we had them ourselves. We weren't sponsored at all. I actually had a funny story how I acquired, because I have Diddy Kong Racing, it's back there. You can't see it, it's a little fuzzy, but I actually went out. I was just like doing Facebook Marketplace deals, just trying to get more N64 games. Right. And a dude had GoldenEye for like super cheap. And I moral of the story, I'm reacquiring my N64 collection. Because like a fool back in the day, I sold it. So I've been like slowly reacquiring everything. So I got a really good deal. It was like $15 or something for GoldenEye. And I was like, all right, I'll take it. And I went and he's like, well, would you take the other games I have? And he was asking like, I don't know how much. He was asking like $80 for all of them or something. And I was like, well, I really only want GoldenEye, if I'm being honest. And the other games were Diddy Kong Racing, which I already had, and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. And he's like, well, I'll give you all of them for like $40. He's like, I just really need the cash. And I was like, okay. So I did it. So I had a second copy and I was like, I'm going to give this away at some point.
Nice.
So I did.
I did that as well. I gave away everything except my Nintendo 64 console, Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie. All of them were when they were released. Like they were literally like, the moment they were released, my dad got them for me because I was young, and And I've had them ever since. And then I had games like GoldenEye, Mario Kart 64, Super Mario 6. Oh, and Super Mario 64. I still have that one. I didn't give that one away. But I had
Classic.
Mario Kart 64, GoldenEye. I had Space Station, Silicon Valley. I had like all these games, and I gave them all away except for Banjo-Kazooie. The originals of Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, and Super Mario 64. And then I was going to play Banjo-Tooie the one time, like maybe when I was, I would say, my early 20s. Just randomly going to play Banjo-Tooie, the original game, and I couldn't find it anywhere, and I lost it. I'm like, son of a gun, where did it go? Like, I don't know where it is. And I couldn't find it for years, like for at least a year or two. So I end up like maybe that same day, maybe the next day, I went on Amazon or whatever I went on, and I ended up buying Banjo-Tooie, so it wasn't the original. And then a year or two later, I found the original. And now I
Yes.
have both games over there in the desk.
Sounds like you might need to do a giveaway.
Where I don't know. I love them both.
And
Hey, if one breaks, I have the other. Because I'm telling you, that one
that's true.
from the 90s is, well, 2000 is really old.
Yeah.
It's 24 years old and it's still kicking. But it does freeze on occasion, so the other one works a little better.
Yeah.
But I just keeping it for, that nostalgia. I had this since the year of 2000, the
Oh,
moment I
yeah.
came out, standing with my dad it wasn't even GameStop, it was Electronics Boutique in the Schuylkill Mall at the time.
Oh,
And
EB
standing,
Games.
yes, just standing
Classic.
there, opening, like it was, I don't remember the day it was, but if it was a school day, I promise you I skipped because we were standing there at like maybe 7 or 8 in the morning. Until the store opened and the game was available to purchase, and I went in and I bought, the right on opening day.
Yes,
Yeah.
classic.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I lost my entire collection. However, I had one thing that I didn't sell because I missed it, and it was my N64 transfer pack, which is
Oh.
totally useless to me.
Right.
I mean, I guess it's not totally useless. I do have Pokemon Stadium, but it's like whatever.
Right.
But I still have that, and I will never sell it because it's in my mind. It's just that little like, this is one of the original things I had. And the other thing was the place I sold my collection to, which was like, it was only like a couple hundred dollars. It's probably worth way more than that because I had like Earthworm Jim 3D. I had like games that were worth lots of money, right? But when I went back to the store, I saw my specific copy of Spider-Man on the N64. And the reason I knew it was mine was because my little brother spilled milk all over my N64 collection. None of the games were damaged. They all worked. But I could see like the dried milk on the back of the cartridge. And I was like, this is mine. I need to buy it. I need to buy it back. And so I immediately just grabbed it and went and bought it. It was like 20 bucks or something. But I
Nice.
reacquired. So I still have my Spider-Man for N64.
Nice.
And ironically, it's the only N64 game I have that I still have the manual for.
Nice.
So I have that too, which is
That's
pretty
awesome.
cool.
Me and my fiance, well, mostly he jokes about this. Because Banjo-Kazooie came out in June 1998. He was born in June 1997. So we joke about how I was waiting in line to buy Banjo-Kazooie at EB Games opening day, with my dad, and
Yeah.
playing it, and basically skipping a week of school just to play it. And he was not even walking yet, basically, or he was walking, but not, he just started walking.
Yeah.
Like he was at least a year old. And
Perspective.
that was so funny. Like we like I'm like, wow, our age gap is so crazy. Like he'll be 27 this year and I'll be 35.
Yeah, you're older than me too, but I got him beat, but
How
you
old are
got me
you?
beat. I'm 30.
Oh, okay.
So I'm right on the dot. I
Nice.
was like 5, I think, when I got Donkey Kong 64, but
Nice.
I wish I could have been. I mean, I was alert. I was there. I
Yeah.
was when N64 was in the store, I went out and we got
Yeah.
stuff. I had moments that I remember with my dad going in and grabbing games
Yeah.
because he liked to. My dad was kind of a hoarder and a
Yeah.
collector of everything. So he liked that I liked collecting video games. So he would take me places and like buy stuff.
Yeah.
The only game he ever bought that he told me explicitly was mine, or like his, was his.
Yeah.
Was a Star Wars Rogue Squadron on GameCube. He got
nice.
the second one and the third one, and both of them he said, those are mine. Uh-huh. But I still played them all the time. It didn't make a difference.
As a kid, I was all, and even as an adult, but it definitely started as a kid, I was always fascinated with witches. So Gruntilda being the main antagonist was always... Gotcha. Always, you know, amazing at the sea. And then I did the tier list video with you, and of course I had to dress up as Gruntilda.
Yeah, that was unexpected. It was pretty funny. I was like, I was not ready for it. I was like, wait, what?
Did my cool. laugh and all. And I, then after we finished filming that, we ended up doing like a little cauldron, because I had the cauldron from
a little promo thing.
Yeah.
Did I put that in the intro? Really, I think I put makeup. That in the intro.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Yeah.
Because I found this really, really good witch's makeup on Amazon for like $6 or something like that for a pack that, and one pack literally will cover my whole face and my neck and everything. So one pack is good for one full use of it for the day.
So for those who are listening and I guess watching, we did a Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie world ranking where we went through every level. And ranked it on a scale, was it S to F or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, just a normal ranking scale, but we ranked every single level from Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie, and he was completely dressed as Gruntilda, which green makeup everywhere, witch hat, just dress. Everything. Yeah, there was even a cauldron at the beginning, and we did a fun little intro.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool. And it's probably the most thorough. We kind of joked about this this episode of the podcast about nerding out and stuff and him getting the extra time on the Zoom call because the tier list, which was it was initially planned to only be like an hour, hour and a half tops.
Yeah,
it ended up being like, what, 3.5 hours?
3.5 hours. It was crazy. My fiance actually, had to go to work that night because he works the overnight shift. And I was taking him, and he said, if you didn't hang up and finish that call when you did, I was breaking in that room, and I was like, we gotta go, because he works at from 11 to like 7:30 or something like that, and because it was so and we didn't get done until like 11 at the dot, and I think we started at like what, 7?
Yeah, you kept saying like I gotta go, so we gotta.
Yeah, and then I got home, and I had to keep the makeup on. So I'm driving in my witch's dress, my witch's hat. Oh no, I think I took the hat off. The makeup all over me, and then I go and then the makeup is itching my neck, and I had to keep it on because we had to film the intro, because I didn't know if I needed to show my face or anything. So
yeah.
I dropped him off. After I dropped him off, I had to pull over into the parking lot at his job so I can itch my neck, because my neck was really itchy from the makeup, because I never wore it that long before, and it's very easy to come off. It's just soap and water and it comes right off. And I pull over, and somebody is in the car next to me, because I guess they're getting ready to go to work, and they look at me, and then they go I'm like, well, they're probably thinking, well, that's something you don't see every day.
Yeah.
A grown man with a I didn't have all this scruffy here, but because you know, a witch doesn't have all the scruff, but they're like a grown man in green makeup and a dress.
That's so funny. Oh, that's a great story.
That was so embarrassing. But and then I got home and we ended up doing it. I don't use the makeup on my hands or anything, because it's just because mainly if I want to eat something or whatever. You know, I don't want to eat the paint or whatever, the makeup or whatever. So I bought these gloves that are pretty much the same, just a little lighter color of green, and it kind of works.
Yeah.
Yeah. But great. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Three and a half hours.
3.5 hours was crazy. I didn't expect it to That's be so that funny. Long. Like, and I know you didn't, but it just went on and on.
We had to be thorough. We had to be thorough. We started talking. I think I even at one point said, okay, we've got to move on because we're sitting on this level way too long.
The weird thing is that we have a lot of the same viewpoints.
Yeah, we did, which is actually good, because There was a couple that I was like, you said something like you were worried it was controversial or you thought it was going to be totally different. And I was like, no, I agree with you. And you're like, oh, okay.
What
I'm
was
trying to
that
think of
one?
what it was.
Click Clock Wood, it might have been.
Click Clack Wood.
And then I said that I did say that one of my that wait till you hear the one that's really gonna shock you about what is going into the top or whatever. I said there's two of them that are going in the top for Banjo Kazooie or whatever. And there was two worlds left, Rusty Bucket Bay and Click Clock Wood. And you're like, please tell me it isn't Rusty Bucket Bay. I'm like, it's Rusty Bucket Bay. And you're like,
Yeah.
are you serious? I'm like, gotcha.
Yeah. That I would have argued pretty hard against.
Yeah, but Pterodactyl Land was actually we kind of had a little bit of a difference on that one at first. But then I did see your point on it because I always thought it was bare bones, but you made me realize that it isn't bare bones. And for those that I guess are watching this or listening to this or both, that are wondering if are thinking the same thing that I thought originally, that Pterodactyl Land is, really an empty space. What is your argument for that? Defend Pterodactyl Land.
Are you asking me right now to defend
Yeah, I'm
it?
asking you to defend
Okay.
Pterodactyl Land.
Oh man. I feel like all I do is defend Pterodactyl Land. I'm not gonna lie. Like every single video that I've made about Tui, so I have the analyzing everything about Tui, and I had the defending Tui, and people point to that level like religiously. They're like, the worlds are empty. I hate them. And then they point to Pterodactyl Land, and I'm like, okay. Why is it empty? And they're like, big open space. I'm like, you turn into a giant T-Rex.
Yeah.
You got to run around. I was like, you can turn into a baby T-Rex and talk to the enemies. They plant all these little things around. You have places to explore. You have the lava pit. You have tons of enemy dinosaurs, different kinds of dinosaurs. You have cavemen. You have tons of nooks and crannies. You go inside of the mountain, and there's an entire like level based in that and mini games. You fly up to the top with the boss. Sure, it's traditionally maybe a little more empty as far as like it's more of an open space, but you need that for the
The
Tyrannosaurus
giant
Rex
T-Rex. Yeah.
transformation,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And but even if you don't use that transformation, you're still you it's got the main structure in the middle. It's got that click clock wood. You got to climb the mountain, you got to go around the side, you got to scale it. It's got little caves here and there that you go in. And I guess the only thing that I could see people's points, if anybody actually ever made this point to me, which they probably haven't, would be it doesn't have as many distinct landmarks to know where you are. Like
Yeah.
it could have had a couple more of that, but it does have some. But it's not empty. It's packed to the brim. It may feel like that because they kind of were accommodating this giant Tyrannosaurus Rex transformation. So
Right.
I really think like if you look at it from Humba's Wigwam to the right, amazing level. If
Yeah.
you look at it from Humba's Wigwam to the left, it could be a little empty. I could see
Yeah.
that. But I mean, generally speaking, no, it's not empty. And then the biggest thing I always point out, and people have to recognize this, okay? People hop on hate trains, they hop on bandwagons. Someone makes a video that's a retrospective about a game like 2E, and they say, oh, this world's empty. And then they make a few, decent points to their point. Everyone starts saying, oh, yeah, that world's empty. And I think I called it, it's a psychological term. It's like the illusory truth effect. And it's like someone said it, and then someone agreed, started saying it, and it just kind of spirals out from there. And everyone starts saying it. But
Yeah.
no, it's not that empty. Like, go back and play it.
If
I was
you
like,
want to
then you can
complain
argue with
about
me.
any world in Tui, let it be Grunny's Industries.
Yeah.
Like I don't mind Grunny's Industries, but usually that's where my playthrough stops to end because I like to be a completionist. So
Yeah.
I don't want to skip it. So that's usually where my playthrough stops. And then if I do go back and play it, I'll like right away I'll play that level. But if not, then I usually start from the beginning again. Because
You
that
know what?
level's a drag.
It is. And there's a few things that I would bring up about that. So the first thing I just want to say, I actually do like that you have to go in an alternative way and you have to like summon the train to get into Grunty Industries. I think that's pretty cool.
When I first played that world, I don't even want to say how long it took me, but it was an embarrassing amount of time to figure out that you needed to hit a train switch on the other side of the area
just to get in. But that's what I like about it. It's kind of, you have to explore a little bit to get into it. It's not as straightforward as the other levels. I like that. I like the idea of it. I think where it really falls flat is the fact that you have multiple ways to get up multiple floors, but they don't connect the ways that you go. So if you take the elevator shaft up, or the whatever, the dumb waiter, if you take the dumb waiter, I guess the elevator shaft too, that's separate. If you take the elevator shaft or the dumb waiter, or you just navigate up there, you have three distinct areas on the same floor. So it is a nightmare trying to figure out where the heck you are, and especially to get those stupid batteries and put those in a specific area. You have to know how to navigate it. You have to really memorize the layout, and it does offer a lot of challenge, which I think is most people's argument. They go, oh, I love that level because it makes me think, it makes me, you know, kind of plan out things. It's not horrible. It's not something that would turn me off from the game at all by any means, but I just, when compared to a world previously like Hailfire Peaks, which in my mind is just peak Banjo, it's just so much fun. I just, it slows down the pace quite a bit. But the other comment I would make about that is Banjo-Tooie offers a pretty big buffer for collectibles. You only need 70 jiggies to beat the game, and the game has 90. So that's an extra 20 jiggies that you don't have to collect just to beat the game. You could probably skip most of Grunty Industries if you really wanted to. Just go in, beat Welder. Yeah. He's arguably one of the better bosses in the game too. Go beat Welder, leave.
And one thing that always bothered me about Banjo-Tooie wasn't the first one, wasn't the second one, wasn't even the third one. It was the fourth time I had a fight Canary Mary. Well, not fight, but race Canary Mary. I figured out, I forget what it is off the top of my head, but you go really slow, but not slow enough. And then when you're at the end, you speed up and beat her.
Oh my gosh. I got to follow up with him on Discord, but I have a shout out to Colin on my Discord. He was just reliving the Canary Mary race and he could not beat it. And he's like, I beat everything. The 100% this game, I need to beat Canary Mary. I'm struggling. I'm like, it's rubber banding. And I'm trying to explain to him like via Discord message, how to beat Canary Mary. I'm like, you're right. All you have to do, you tap just enough to keep pace with her. She's going to be ahead of you. I think that's what most people don't understand. She's going to be ahead of you for most of that race. You strike at the end. After you come down the mountain, you're coming toward where Humba's Wigwam is, where the end of the race is. Then you tap furiously and you pass her so fast she can't respond. Right. That's the trick, because she's just so, but yeah, she's a nightmare. She's a nightmare in looks, in sound, in gameplay. Like, she's the one where she thing that
keto pages.
Yes. It's so funny. I ended my defending Tooie video. I'm like, there's one thing I can't defend. And then I just cut to Canary Mary. I'm like,
actually, when you said that, I go, amen, brother.
But it's specifically that last race too. Like, I don't think she's that bad until that last race.
Yeah. Oh my God.
She goes from semi-challenging to just impossible.
Yeah.
If you don't know the trick.
Yeah. But. Yeah. And I know, oh my God, when Kazooie, like when she says, let me get the Cheeto pages, it's wedged between my, like, I don't want to know where it's wedged between, lady.
No, thanks.
No, thanks. I don't want to know, Canary Berry. Oh my God. And when I was fighting her the fourth time, like when I was, before I, you know, had the job in Maryland, moved down here and all this years ago, before I even met my fiance, I was playing Banjo-Tooie on my N64. I couldn't beat her. I was just getting so mad. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna mad right now, but I'm gonna make this fun. I'm gonna make this funny. So I got my mom. I had my mom play. No, and she's not gonna do it. And she didn't do it. And then I had my dad do it. He didn't do it. Then I got my aunt Luann to come down and do it, and she couldn't do it. And then I got my aunt Leslie doing it. She's very competitive, and she's like pushing it and pushing it, pushing it.
Yeah.
And then she ended up like saying, "I give up. I end up beating you so much." She's like, "Oh, come on, that's no fair." I still have those videos because I recorded them doing this, and
That's
I still
funny.
have them. I still have the videos of them playing Banjo Kazooie,
That
raising.
would be a really funny party game. It's like beat Canary Mary, win $100,
Yes.
and like to your friends that never play banjo, and then you'd be like, "How did you beat it?" "Oh, you just press A."
Press A, rap as fast as you can, and I promise you, I'll give you $500 if you can beat her. Promise you that you're not giving them no $500.
Yeah. Oh man, unless somebody's smart enough to figure it out, which is the gamble, I guess.
Yeah, I
And
don't know.
they
I
say,
mean,
just kidding, five.
yeah, just kidding. I meant $5, not 500. You must have thought 100 because you were so excited about the money. You
Yeah, you just
just
weren't
heard me.
thinking.
You weren't thinking right. Yeah.
Classic.
Oh my God. So, I have to shift focus to this because this is something that I was excited about as a kid. When I was watching ba playing Banjo Kazooie, 100%ed it. Got to the end, saw the pictures, stop and swap. But not just that, Banjo Tooie is coming out. Make Banjo Kazooie look like joke. Oh, that's so awesome. Banjo Tooie came out a couple of years later. You know, didn't 100% it because it can never get past that dastardly Canary Mary. You know where I'm going with this. I beat Gruntilda. Hard, a lot harder than the first game, I think. But if you use the cheat to not die, then you can beat her. That's usually what I did. But it was a lot. I thought that fight was a lot harder than the first one. But you beat her. They're playing kickball, and she's gonna come back for Banjo 3. What? How I pronounced it was 3IE.
Oh, classic.
But we never got Banjo 3IE. What
No.
happened to Banjo 3IE? You're the professional Banjo Kazooie super fan here. You make all this content. Do you ever think in our wildest dreams, and I'm not talking about Nuts and Bolts or Grunny's Revenge or Banjo Pilot, I'm talking about an authentic Nintendo 64-esque, obviously not on the Nintendo 64, but Nintendo 64-esque. Back to the formula of Banjo Kazooie and Banjo Tooie, Banjo 3, i.e., Banjo 3.
Depends what you mean by 64-esque. You just mean like a platformer collect-a-thon
Just
style?
like the regular games where you get like so many worlds, you collect Jiggies, maybe Cheeto
Yeah.
pages, notes, all that fun stuff, and you go to the end and you fight Gruntilda.
Yes, I do. I do think we're gonna get it, and here's why.
Okay.
I have had it's been that pipe dream for a long time. But I feel like it's grown in sentiment, especially recently. Like it really has. I've been seeing a lot more vocalization about wanting it. I've been seeing Phil Spencer from Microsoft is acknowledging Banjo fans, we hear you. And there's been lots of rumors from credible leakers that have been saying there is some sort of Banjo project that has been in the works. Now, whether that's a 3IE or not,
Right.
I really think. I think it is though. I think it is. I think they hear what we want, and it's
And
not nuts and bolts. It's
as I
not
was gonna
Banjo
say,
Pilot.
they heard what we thought of Nuts and Bolts, but and they know what we think of Banjo Kazooie and Banjo Tooie. And of
Yeah.
course, Grant Kirkhope. Don't forget, Pigs Fly, When Pigs Fly, and we saw that
Yeah.
image of pigs flying. I saw
Yeah,
that
I made a
video you
video on
posted.
that. He
Yeah.
is such a troll. And
Right?
I'm willing to bet that this banjo, I'm willing to bet that there's a banjo project. I'm willing to bet that it's in very early stages and that maybe he has been contacted, but he's not really like involved yet. But I bet he will be
Yeah.
because it just he's the man. Just
Yeah.
go to him for the music
Yep.
because that's the way it needs to be. I
Yeah.
will say though, however, Nuts and Bolts is the first time he collaborated with Robin Beanland and David Kleinek,
Okay.
also of rare fame. They came in. Robin did Conker's Bad Fur Day famously, and David did Perfect Dark.
Okay.
So they both came in and helped him because he was doing Viva Pinata at the same time. So it was a lot of work to do that. And
Yeah.
Nuts and Bolts soundtrack is actually pretty great.
Nice. Yeah.
So very good callbacks to Banjo-Tooie and
Yeah.
Banjo-Kazooie in Nuts and Bolts with like a live orchestra. Like, it's got live orchestration. It sounds really good. Yeah. So there's potential that, you know, they could mix and match a little bit like that, but he has to be overseeing it. I really think he does.
Yeah, Grant Kirkhope has to do the music. If Grant Kirkhope doesn't do the music, I'm going to be very fearful of the music soundtrack. Because Grant Kirkhope, he is Banjo-Kazooie in my mind.
It's like, just special.
It's just special. It's just special. Like, that, I have the Grunty's Lair theme as my ringtone.
Yeah.
For like $3 or whatever on the Apple Store or something.
So my opinions on that, if somebody comes in and like it's somebody different and they're going to be doing the soundtrack, he either has to be heavily involved or they have to do a really good job because they have big shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah.
And the soundtrack in Banjo is arguably one of the most important things because it's the only game soundtrack, excuse me, that I have on vinyl. Like, it's that good. And there are other rare games that also have phenomenal music. Donkey Kong 64, which is also by Grant Kirkhope, phenomenal music. Yeah. Diddy Kong Racing.
He did great on GoldenEye.
He did great on GoldenEye. He also did the GoldenEye. Yeah. He did not do Diddy Kong Racing. Not to, I'm trying to think who did that. Who did Diddy Kong Racing?
I don't know.
It wasn't Stamper or not Stamper. David Wise, was it?
It might have been. It might have been. I'm not sure.
Someone over at Rare.
Yeah.
A lot of the Rare composers have teamed up now, and they're very good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like, you know, Donkey Kong Country's David Wise. So there's a lot of good stuff going on over there. But I'm just saying, like, there's something to be said about the games Kirkhope worked on versus the others, because pretty much any game that Grant Kirkhope has done the music for has been a game that people listen to the music outside of the game.
Yeah.
The he was just talking about the other day about the pause music in GoldenEye being used at like a baseball game or something that he was at. He's like, it's even here. Like, it's just, so it's pretty cool.
And also, of course you need the great music. That's one thing that needs to be great. And in order to do that, you either need Grant Kirkhope to do it, or you need him to supervise whoever is doing it and really be heavily involved. Right. Like he said. Another thing that needs to be good is, I wanted to go back to, I'm not saying graphic wise, but I'm saying look wise. We need a good looking cast of characters. We don't need Box Banjo from Nuts and Bolts. We need Nintendo 64-esque, as I say, because obviously you're not going back to Nintendo 64 design and graphics.
Yeah.
But you need Nintendo 64-esque look and feel. Like, you, if you want people to actually take Banjo 3 seriously or the next Banjo game seriously and differentiate it from the hate that Banjo Kazooie Nuts and Bolts has, then you need to make it different with, you know, the music was good in Banjo Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, don't get me wrong, but the look and feel and appeal of the characters wasn't good at all. I mean, I don't want to see a gardening, you know, overall mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see a Box Banjo Kazooie.
Whenever you watch my Nuts and Bolts video, you got to get back to me because I went through all the character models.
Yeah.
And I had mixed feelings. Some I thought translated pretty well to this style because the differences were negligible, I guess. Right. Like Grunty is actually one that I thought translated fairly well.
I do like Grunty's look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Mumbo actually translated pretty well. They just put him in denim overalls,
right? So. It was really weird. The only thing I don't like about Grunty, like, I like her look and I loved her in Banjo-Tooie as well, but like I said, I have this fascination with witches and the fact that, you know, she's not the green, you know, rhyming witch as she was. Now I understand she was underground for 2 years, which makes sense, but she's magical. I think she could have magically given her glow back. But
You know what's interesting too?
Yeah.
Like in Nuts and Bolts. So have you played it? Have you played through it? Or some of it at least?
I started it, and when I got into cars, I'm like, okay, this isn't what I'm used to. It wasn't my cup of tea.
Watch my video. I challenge you to go back because it does get better. It's like you gotta get past that whole, like, oh, this is ruined for me.
But reading the Banjo Land stuff, like when I read on the Banjo Kazooie Wiki and all that stuff, like reading about Banjo Land, that sounds really damn cool. A lot of throwback Like that, I really like that idea. Like basically in a Banjo 3, I would love to see a Banjo Land world, actual world in an actual Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie type of game of Banjo 3, and seeing Banjo Land as an actual world, like where they do throwbacks to the first two games, having various characters show up and all that stuff. And of course, in Banjo 3, you also need to have back Gobi. You need to have, and when you have back Gobi, you gotta get rid of his water again. Like you just gotta.
Yeah.
It's fun.
He was already old and Tooie. I wonder how. You know what would be funny?
But
He's a skeleton camel. And he's like trying to get the water, but it falls through. And he goes,
oh, that'd be
no.
great. That'd be so great. That'd be so great. And we also need a in Banjo 3, we need to tie some loose ends. Where was Tootie in Tooie? And where was Brintilda in Tooie?
Yeah, Tooie needs to come back. So some threads they connected in Nuts and Bolts to the other games, which I thought was cool. Some were unnecessary, but like Klungo becomes a game designer, which is really funny because he says he's going to do that in the end of Tooie. He's like, I'm going to become a game designer because I don't want to do this anymore. And then he's actually a game designer in Nuts and Bolts and makes a
That's
little
awesome.
game called Klungo Saves the World. So they
That's awesome.
thought a lot about those little plot threads, and I think some of that should make a return. It just wasn't executed exactly how it should have been. It really should have been. My sentiment was it should have been a. Everyone says it should be a spinoff, but I go a step further than that. Yes, it should have been a spinoff, but I think it should have been a Mumbo-centric spinoff, because you have Banjo-Kazooie, you are giving them a magic wrench to create vehicles. I'm like, Mumbo already has a magic wand. Like he's already there. He's the mechanic in the place. He focuses on using his magic to bring things to life, to transform things. Like he would have been the perfect thing. Like you just adjusted a little bit from a techie thing to a mechanical or to a magical thing, and he could have made vehicles, and we would have had Tears of the Kingdom is what we would have had, but Banjo for Mumbo.
I honestly and I know Grant Kirkhope mentioned this, like if you throw a pitch to Steve Mayles and you show that you would really get it up and running, he might give, like, what, I don't even know if Steve even has the rights anymore, but he said you could get that game, up and running. But I think having a Banjo 3 game, not programmed and created by people working and getting paid to make a game, but people that are passionate about the franchise, like people that played the first two games, know what is makes them so special. Like me and you, if we got the rights to make these games, that game would be so amazing.
Yeah, we get all the elements right,
Yeah,
which
like,
is it's something to be said. I think the thing about that specific situation, what comes to mind actually before Banjo is Sonic, and how almost tone deaf the devs become at a certain point to what the fans want. And it's not for lack of they don't want to please the fans, but it's almost like they get bored of doing the same thing, so they feel they need to spice it up. When all the fans are saying, please don't do that, we just want more. We want more, we want slightly updated, but more. And I think what would really help the Banjo series is if they did Crash Insane Trilogy style remakes of Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, sell it as a double pack. I like the name Banjo Redooie. I've heard that on Twitter quite
Oh,
a
that's
bit.
actually pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I like that name. So Banjo Redooie, and then give us a full-fledged Banjo 3E. I'm gonna shout out another YouTube channel. It's oh my gosh, I'm blanking on their full name. It's Project Dream. I don't know if it's Project Dream something, Project Dream, like what Banjo-Kazooie was originally. And they do like these massive remade worlds of Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie,
Oh, I know what
and
you're talking about. I've seen their work.
They've commented on some of my videos. That's pretty cool. We're becoming closer, so I kind of want to see if there's room for something to do there.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But they did a concept for Banjo 3E as like one of their when they finished the worlds for Kazooie and Tooie, they're going back and they're doing some more things now. They didn't stop, but when they went through all the worlds, they were like, here's a concept for Banjo 3E, and showed a bunch of like hypothetical worlds that they conceptualized. pretty cool, actually. Like, it looked pretty cool. One of them was like a hot air balloon with banjo, and I was like, that's kind of a neat idea.
Nice.
So we'll see. But I will say, though we do not have Banjo 3E, technically, we do have people like Kirkle Mods making some pretty dope Banjo Kazooie mods for that can play on actual N64 hardware.
Nice.
Jiggies of Time is excellent.
How do you play that? Where do you do it on the on like Steam?
No, so it's you have to have an emulator or an EverDrive, which I have an EverDrive. So you have a copy of
I have Project 64.
Yeah, that would work.
Okay.
So you basically you have to have a ROM of Banjo Kazooie, and then you get the patch. His website would walk you through how to install it and what to do. It's not very complicated.
Okay.
But it's basically you patch the ROM and create a new ROM, and then you can load that up in your emulation device, and it will run on N64 hardware. So all of these mods run on N64 hardware.
Nice.
Pretty cool stuff. And you can play some Jiggies of Time is essentially Banjo getting thrown into Ocarina of Time and playing through those worlds. The plot is not Ocarina of Time, though. It's not Banjo in Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's Banjo transforming Ocarina of Time into a Banjo game.
Okay.
So it's way more in depth than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
There's little Easter eggs everywhere. He puts like game cartridges places. Like you can climb the Deku tree as Banjo and like climb up on the vines and like jump around. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It does such a great job. It's almost mind blowing. And there's even unique transformations.
Nice. That's
you can change into different things, and it's super cool, super in depth. And he has a bunch of those like that. I played the Night Bear Before Christmas, which is a Nightmare Before Christmas mod where you go through and it's Nightmare Before Christmas, but it's Banjo and you've got to face Gruntilda. I'm trying to think of what else he has. He has so many. I did another Christmas one at Christmas time. I did it. So it's pretty fun. It was like Santa's workshop or something.
Yeah, like I said, you do need to do a video though on the history of Gruntilda, like in her past, like before we got to know what she, you know, who she was. And then I was even thinking maybe a Where Are They Now series of characters, like you know, like kind of like, where is Gruntilda been since Banjo-Kazooie? Where is Tootie been since Banjo-Kazooie? Where is Gobi at now after the events of Banjo-Tooie?
It does, it does make you wonder. Tootie especially. I think Tootie. Gruntilda, I'm kind of like, why did the other sisters show up and never
that were
mention
never
her?
Mentioned.
She never mentioned them. They never mentioned her.
Uh-huh.
But now there's four sisters. There's some Wizard of Oz thing going on here, right? What happens in Wizard of Oz? Did Gruntilda get a house dropped on her? Like, is she
we know the other two end up getting a what was it, a 2-ton anvil dropped on them?
Oh, good point. And Gruntilda got a boulder dropped on her, so
yeah. So and then Gruntilda got the house. There you go.
I'd have to do a lot of research and see if there's anything. Like there's gotta be a Nintendo Power somewhere saying something weird that I can find and exploit and just push. I might even like try reaching out to game devs and stuff, because they might have some little tidbit
series,
of
though.
Information. That would
that would be
really
a good
funny.
Series, like a Where Are They Now, and like make it like, you know, like for example, where is Boggy? Is he still sitting in front of his flat screen TV, you know, or
neglecting his family,
and Mrs. Boggy's still watching the kids? Well, the kids are probably adults at this point. Do they have kids of their own? Are they grand polar bears?
Probably.
So I mean, these are, I think that would be pretty cool. But I definitely would love to see the backstory of Gruntilda. That's actually a very cool idea.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting video. I think
I don't think there's ever been one on YouTube about that.
There's not a lot of content related to Banjo that's not just like a retrospective.
Yeah.
Or a long play or a let's play, which is why I think my content is unique. But it's also like when I search for Banjo stuff, that's the kind of stuff I look for. I look for the weird stuff because I love you know, let's shout him out. I love Game Theory. I love MatPat, who just retired. He's officially done. As of this recording, he is done. But I loved watching his videos, and he covered games that I normally probably wouldn't have known about.
Right.
Which says something, and they were always interesting. He always had interesting theories. I mean, he pretty much Five Nights at Freddy's made his channel really take off. Mm-hmm. And I think he also helped Five Nights at Freddy's be bigger than it needed to be.
Right.
Yeah. So let's do that with Banjo.
Yeah, absolutely.
And me.
and what really makes me mad is there's not even a lot of Gruntilda stuff. Why isn't there a U2s of Gruntilda? Why doesn't she have a figure?
I bet that's coming. Because I've been following the U2s since Banjo first released.
Okay.
And Banjo released, then 2D released, and then Bottles released as a limited edition. And then it was like months later, like maybe even a year later, then Mumbo released. Mm-hmm. And then I moved on to Conker and stuff. And then the Jinjos came. And now Rayman finally got in. But I bet you'll see more, because I'm personally waiting for a Klungo. Because I think a Klungo would be really cool.
Yeah. They need to bring back Bottles. Not limited edition. Like, he needs to be bought like the others, because he's a main character. Let's be real. Like,
they should bring in another variant of Bottles, because yeah. I want mine to be special.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
What they should do is the dead body with the angel Bottles above it.
That's actually not a bad.
That would be cool.
It's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah, and they could do. There's so many characters they could do.
They could do Humbawamba, Gobi, Boggy. You know, Jam Jars.
It'd be Grant cool Zelda. To see a Banjo Grant holding Kazooie like a gun. Yeah. But also have Dragon Kazooie would be cool with maybe fire coming out.
Yeah.
I'd also like to see the transformations.
Yeah, you know those what would be cool. They should do all of the bosses as a set. For a limited edition, like all the bosses in Tui.
Oh man, Mr. Patch.
Every single boss in Tui as a set for maybe $150. That'd be a steal. I'd do it too. That's like what, like 9 bosses? Because there's 2 like in Hailfire Peaks. So yeah, about 9 bosses. And you know what? Make it 200. I'll buy it if you throw in Klungo in there. All 3 forms, not bruised, slightly bruised, fully bruised.
I thought you were gonna say like invisible, giant, and what's the other multiple. Cloning.
Yeah,
you could have like 2 like heads coming out, and he's like, actually that'd be cool too. Cheeto
cool. he would need one. That would be cool. Yeah,
the goldfish would be cool.
Yeah, Roy, what's his name, Royston?
I can't remember his name.
I think it's Royston.
That would be cool.
Really cool too.
The head one.
Like but the next one they need to come out with is either another Bottles or a Gruntilda, because Gruntilda doesn't get any love.
Gruntilda is going to come. Yeah. I guarantee it. Another thing that has great figurines is the first four figures. First four figures.
Okay.
Have you seen those? They're big. They're giant.
I think so, because I think they have a Gruntilda and it's like $500 they bucks do. Or something.
Yeah, and it lights up.
Oh shit.
It lights up. It's really cool. They have a really cool Mumbo one.
You have it?
No, I don't have it. I want to get those, but that's kind of if money were no object sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because they are very pricey. They are minimum like $500. You can't even get some of the Banjo ones anymore new. Like, you have to buy them used.
Wow.
The one I really want is not Banjo, it's actually Conker, and it is the Great Mighty Pooh, and it's giant, it's like huge, it's right. Great Mighty Pooh, and it has Conker throwing toilet paper in his mouth.
Nice.
And I'm like, that is just the best. But they did do a bunch of Banjo transformations too, so you can have Mumbo transforming with the staff, and then you can swap out the transformation.
Oh, that's so cool.
And they're giant, they're just giant. They're like, the Mumbo one's probably 1.5 feet, maybe, tall.
And the funny thing is, like, when you showed me the Great Mighty Pooh, when you showed all of us the Great Mighty Pooh action figure, I'm like, that doesn't surprise me with your Jiggy Look Back intro.
Yeah. It's very, so I haven't done the poop in a while, or the farts in a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, since I've been putting out the new videos,
I haven't noticed. I remember them in the Banjo-Kazooie. By the way, your Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie full retrospective, those are literally probably my favorite Banjo-Kazooie videos all on YouTube. Like, they are really well done. Thank you. And I love, first of all, I love your voice. Like, you have a really good voiceover voice. And I love when you go, like, into the world we go. That's so awesome.
Okay, that has been brought up before. I didn't know I was doing it. I didn't realize I was doing that. I was doing that, like, into the level we go, right? And then someone pointed it out in the comments. And then I was like, well, maybe I should make that a thing. But I kind of started getting away from that with my retrospectives. I will say that I brought it back for Nuts and Bolts.
Oh, thank God. I love it.
I'm doing it again because it was backed by popular demand, which is so funny because it's just a quirky thing I did.
Nice.
But yeah.
Nice. Going a little bit off of Banjo-Kazooie topic, just for at least for a moment, I wanted to know, did you never played Banjo? I mean, yeah, oh my God. I just said we're getting off and I'm already going on it. you never played Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, right?
No, I haven't. I have not.
I expect, and I will give you a laundry list of videos that I would love to. Looking for videos on Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door is hard.
Okay.
I don't know why it's so hard. There is one guy, Cloud Connection. Do you ever hear Cloud Connection?
Yep, I know Cloud Connection. Yep.
Yes, he has a really good Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door retrospective that I like. And I watched it a couple of times because there's not much Paper Mario Thousand Year Door out there. And if anything, most of it is Paper Mario, like the Origami King. Now, there is at least one YouTuber that does a bunch of Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, and all of his content is Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. It's Cappy. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
He does
all different challenges.
Cloud Connection also retired.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
He has a new channel though.
Yeah.
So he's just doing something different, and I'm not sure what that is, but
all right.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
He's very, very thorough, which I do appreciate, but he's not for the faint of heart because he's like, his retrospectives are like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Which my original ones are pretty long, but now I don't do nearly that long. Now I'd say I'm probably in the pocket of like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Cause an hour long is just kind of crazy sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Cause when I was doing like my videos and if they were like an hour ish long, that's an hour long post editing.
Yeah.
That means you're filming long, at least an hour, maybe longer, because you're editing things down. So, and then you got to get the music right for all the sections that you're in. You got to do whatever the voiceover, whatever you're doing. So it really does take a toll. And if you're doing this for the love of the hobby and not for the monetary or the fame, then you're doing it for the passion that you love, you don't want to make it a job. You want to keep it a hobby. You want to, you know, and if you make money at it or you grow a fan base out of it, then that's just cherry. That's just gravy. You know, you got that bonus. But doing it for the love of it is, you don't want to do it where it wears you out and it becomes a job and it doesn't become fun.
Yeah, that's a good point. So my Donkey Kong video, the defending Donkey Kong 64 specifically, was my first long form video that really took off, and it's I don't know, 30 something thousand right now. It's only been out for a couple weeks.
Oh, wow.
And since then I've already put out defending Banjo-Tooie, a Nuts and Bolts retrospective, a Conker's Bad Fur Day / 12 Tales theory video, a live stream. Like, I've been really like working hard to keep that momentum going and pushing it out. And it is a lot of work, like you said. I would say my last Saturday, so Friday night, I worked on the Nuts and Bolts retrospective. That's not including having to play the game throughout the week and like beat the game, which is like a 20 to 30 hour game.
Yeah.
So I did that, recorded all of it, wrote a script, chugged out probably 3 or 4 hours Friday night after a live stream that I played Mario Kart for like, I played Mario Kart way longer than I should have. I played Mario Kart. It was like, I did a live stream and it just had so, like, lots of happy people popping in wanting to play Mario Kart. I'm like, well, you're popping in, I'm gonna play a few rounds with you. And it just kept happening. So I ended up playing like 5 hours of Mario Kart.
Wow.
But it
Yeah,
was a really fun stream.
I saw you were doing that live stream, and I wish I could have joined, but I was knee deep in a midterm project.
Oh, don't worry. I shouldn't have been doing it. I shouldn't have been doing it that long. I did that. I edited for probably like 3 or 4 hours that day. And then my entire Saturday from like 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. was me editing the nuts and bolts video. I mean, that's how long it takes. Because
Wow.
I'm, you know, even though mine are 15-ish minutes, 20-ish minutes,
Yeah.
I do a lot of like animations and stuff,
Yeah.
right? So I do like, yeah, I got to find the clip of me doing specifically what I'm talking about. And then I lay out music, I lay out my voiceover, I add a bunch of animations and graphics and things over the top. And
Yeah.
sometimes I go back and I go, that's not funny enough. I need to do something stupid, or you
Yeah.
know, and then I add a sound effect or a, I don't know,
Yeah. I
you do
remember
the
doing the
voiceover.
Gruntilda sound effect. That was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is cool.
It was really fun. And the way you do it, you make it just like the game. Like, you know, Banjo talking here, it's your voiceover, and you add your own
Yeah.
text. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's funny because every time I do it, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
Right. And every time I'm like, why didn't I save the native files for that? I have to remake it because I'm like, I do it again. I've done it probably 3 times at this point.
Nice.
I did put it in the Defending Tui video. I did not put it in the Nuts and Bolts video. So,
Okay, yep, and it was in the tier list and all that.
yep.
And you might have had it in the retrospective of either Banjo-Kazooie or Banjo-Tooie. It was one of them, I think you put it in. I think
Tui. Tui
Tooie might have
was,
been.
yeah, Tui was the first time I did it. And
Yeah.
fun fact, there's actually, I'm not sure which one, I think it's a Mumbo one. I recreated all the voices as best I could. Like now I just pull the ripped files from Banjo-Kazooie or Banjo-Tooie or whatever I'm pulling the sound effects from. But I actually,
Right.
like in the Tooie one, I actually recreated the voices and tried to
Right.
mimic them as close as I could. And I was like,
Nice.
adjusting my voice. And then I went in and like was pitch adjusting it. And I had them side by side and I was trying to get them as close as I could. Like that's
Nice.
how much effort I put into these
Yeah.
videos.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and going back also, sorry to go backwards,
No, you're
but
good.
with the Gruntilda, like if you did a video on the backstory of Gruntilda, you would have to go into that, like how does she become the owner of Man Monster Mansion, like making that her house? How does she go into becoming an amusement park owner? And how does she go into having a factory?
Good. Yeah. She's a lot of different things.
Yeah, she's a factory owner. She's an amusement park connoisseur, and
Yeah.
she's a mansion property owner
And a fortune teller.
and a fortune teller, Madame Grunty. Yeah,
Yeah.
she's
She
a
works at
lot
her
of
own
yeah,
carnival.
yeah. She that's freaking
I
awesome.
like to think that Grunty Industries is her main source of income, though.
Yeah.
Like that's where she gets all her income. But what do they make at Grunty Industries?
I was just gonna say, you know what they pro what Grunty's Industries probably does? They probably are the reason why the baddies escape the world. And Banjo-Kazooie and all that. You know, she goes, oh, something, I forget the rhyme off the top of my head, but she's like, and then baddies escape once more.
Oh,
Maybe the baddies
interesting.
escape and she creates these baddies in the industry.
I feel like there is a connection to nuts and bolts that I want to make here because there's these thing
Okay.
called grunt bots,
Okay.
which we don't know for sure if they're made from Log, who's the like main, he's the lord of the games. I don't know. He's not the main antagonist, but he's an antagonist, I guess, a friendly antagonist. I don't know how to describe him.
He's a
He's a
tweener.
facilitator. He's a facilitator of the
There you
games
go.
that you have to participate in. He could have made these grunt bots, but I also feel like they're very Grunty Industries like. And she makes a lot of weird, like, if you think about it, she has a connection to a lot of mechanical stuff. If you think about it too, like, nuts and bolts really make sense for Banjo because Banjo's a gearhead.
Yeah.
He is obsessed with vehicles. He did Diddy Kong Racing,
Yeah.
car, plane, hovercraft. He did Banjo Pilot, where he's just planes by himself. Then he goes to Nuts and Bolts, where he's making his own vehicles, planes, cars, hovercrafts.
There you go.
Yeah, he's kind of a gearhead. He likes that.
Yeah. So maybe, like, I don't know, like, do you think that she kind of made, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what Grunty Industries, maybe that could be a whole video in and of itself. What is Grunty Industries? What do they produce? When was it founded? Like, what did it do? Like, what do they do here? What do they make? What are they about? Are they a completely evil corporation? Or are they like, you know, do they create these villains? Did they create the world, the note doors, the spells, the magic?
Oh, I like that. I like the connecting to Banjo-Kazooie in some way, some sort of. So you gotta think like Rusty Bucket Bay. Yeah. What are they doing there?
Oh, that's right. She's a ship owner as well.
Yeah. And like, what are they doing? What are they transporting? What are they doing? It's got to be connected to Grunty Industries somehow.
Yeah, there you go.
And yeah, it just the rabbit hole continues. And speaking of rabbits, those are the workers at Grunty Industries. So
there you go.
Although you do have, they're the friendly workers. There's friendly workers, and then there's
like the guy that has his jaw that drops all the way to the floor.
Man, just punch those guys.
Right?
The pigs
and
with the wrenches.
Then you have like the security cameras and those bots that electrocute you and everything. Mm-hmm. And of course, Weldar. Where does Weldar fit into this?
Yeah.
Is he your pet flame torch thingy?
Yeah. Well, you got to figure he's doing something.
Yeah.
Maybe they're building. I don't know. I'd have to really look into it.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad video. How does, like, what is Grunty Industries, and does it connect to Rusty Bucket Bay and the ship that's there?
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Hmm.
That would be a lot of research, and I wonder if there's even research out there like that.
Does Grunty Industries build the Bob? The big laser?
There you go. Possibly. Did they build the Hag 1?
Right. Probably.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
She's got some technology.
Yeah. She's got some technology and she's got some magic. And then, of course, there's always that. And then there's the broomstick. Like, you know, this broomstick has eyes and everything. And then there's Ding Pot. Why was she so mad at Ding Pot that she threw up in him? You know?
Yeah.
And he betrayed her. You know, there's just so many things that, just little things that, you know, you can probably make a short video on.
Oh man, it's never ending. There's always new ideas. I had a friend ask me, he's like, it would scare me to be a YouTuber full time. And I was like, why? I was like, that's the dream. And he's like, yeah, but you have to be very creative and think all the time of new things. I'm like, it always comes. Yeah. Like, never think about it. It always just naturally comes. Conversations, playing the games themselves, like, you always think of something.
Yeah.
At least I do. I don't know if that's true for everybody, but.
Yeah, I've always, like you said earlier, I want to make the content that I would like to see on YouTube. And I was working on it, but then, of course, grad school got in the way. But I was working on a ranking of all the bosses in Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door.
There you go.
You know, I can't find one. And then I was thinking, you know what, maybe I don't do a ranking, maybe a tier list.
There you go.
There's none of that around. But the only one that really makes content on this game is Cappy, I think his name is. But he does like actual playthroughs of the game and does different challenges. So basically, he'll do like different speed challenges or like no items throughout the whole game or only use Mario, none of his partners throughout the whole game, or only use his partners and don't use Mario the whole game.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Do you watch a lot of stuff like that? Because I don't particularly gravitate to, I guess, challenge videos where they're just playing the game.
I'm more of a list video or a retrospective video.
Yeah, I like more substance. I feel like that's more like something I would do for a live stream.
Yeah.
Like something like that, which there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that my particular style, I'm just like, if I was going to do a challenge or something like that, it wouldn't be a video for me. It'd be a live stream, which I totally classify in a different different
the only thing that may that when if I go into watching is because there's no other content on there like that, and I would only watch it because, but the only thing is, like, I know the ending. He already completed it, so he uploaded it, so I know the challenge was a success.
What if the challenge wasn't a success though? You never know.
You never know, but I think he plays it multiple times till it is a success.
Oh, okay.
As you can see, I would play it once.
Be done.
Yeah. Did it or didn't. Edit marks in it. That's why I think a live stream would be good, like you said, because then it's like, oh, now we get to see, will he pass or will he fail?
Yeah, I think it's a little more interesting.
Yeah. I'm more of a retrospective guy. I'm a very big list person. I've been a list person since elementary school. I love list related content. I love things that are like rankings or countdowns or top tens. Like one of my favorite YouTube channels outside of Jiggy Lookback, of course, is Cultaholic Wrestling.
Okay.
And they do a lot of list videos. They do top tens, they do rankings, and every day they have a new different type of top 10, like the top 10 managers or the top 10 I don't know, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but like they have like the top 10 of something you would never even think of in your wildest dreams that would have a top 10 list. And yeah, it's there, you know, like top 10 matches that ended in DQ, or the top 10 special guest referee matches in WWE history.
Like, yeah, it's like, it's kind of like Watch Mojo. That's what right. I'm kind of thinking of, like Watch Mojo. Yeah. Like, welcome to Watch Mojo. This is the top 10 most emotional Spider-Man moments from Spider-Man 3. You know, it's like something
very
like that.
Specific.
Yeah, exactly. But you kind of have to be specific. That's what YouTube is. It's finding a niche and just embracing the weird.
Right.
Because I the highest compliment I've ever received was on my mapping the rare universe video, which by the way is that is the most in-depth editing writing I have ever done. Is it perfect? I say flat out no, but there's so many games that I covered in this video. It's almost impossible. Like,
can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
How the hell do you put James Bond in with Banjo-Kazooie? Like, the two are literally like water and vinegar, or what is it, like oil and vinegar, whatever.
Yeah,
and
oil and water.
Oil and water, there you go. It's like, I've mixed them up, but it's like oil and water, and you literally make them work.
Well, that's the beauty of timelines, and there's been so many comments on that, and like most people are like, thank you, this is incredible.
Yeah.
There's a couple that offer their own ideas, and some of them are... Some of them I question is like, did you watch the whole video before they comment? Like someone said, like, where's Blastcore? I was like, I literally talk about Blastcore at the end. I'm like, you just got to watch the whole video. but some bring out some good points, you know, like Killer Instinct could possibly be in an alternate universe as well. And like, maybe there's some crossover there. I'm like, okay, yeah, it could have been. I went specifically with timelines and that everything takes place on Earth, with the exception of things that are out in space.
Yeah.
But like all these islands and stuff around Earth. And then over time, the continents just shift into what we know as America. And that's when you get James Bond, and then you get Perfect Dark after that. And then way far off into the future, the world's like apocalyptic and it's Killer Instinct. And I don't know, fun fact for you, but I said Killer Instinct takes place in the year 3094. Which is an Easter egg to I'm 30 in 94, but actually so is Killer Instinct in 94, and I was just like, oh, 30, 94. Like I just made that up because there's no official date for that game.
Nice.
But it's just so in depth. It's so in depth and it's so crazy. And there was just connecting all the little Easter eggs and the different references and stuff. And I capitalized a little on Conker related to Banjo, actually, in my Conker's Bad Fur Day theory video with it's about Barry, his girlfriend specifically.
Okay.
And I connect to 12 Tails, which is the build that Tim Stamper teased he has, but it's not out to the public. It's before Conker swapped his kid-friendly attitude and went to Bad Fur Day. So super interesting there, but we know like a little bit of the plot. And so I connected all the little threads.
Nice.
Right. And that connected a little bit to Banjo, which was pretty cool.
That's awesome. You have like just the, you could tell you what you're doing isn't work. You could tell what you're doing is for fun. You could tell you could tell because you like, I don't know how many people would do that much in-depth research if they really weren't passionate about it.
Right.
Like so, it's a lot of research.
So, like, don't ever take a minute to sit back and just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just always like, oh, what can I do next?
Right.
What can I do next? You know? So it's really cool when a video does well and to see my channel start.
Yeah.
Growing. Cause like, I kid you not, in the last 3 weeks, I probably gained 2,000 plus subscribers. Nice. Like it's growing pretty rapidly. And I hope it continues to grow, but I hope to just bring more content. And what I really love right now that's happening is A, people are chatting about the games in the comments, mm-hmm. right? I've had a couple people that like comment specifically on like the Tui video or the defending DK64 video. And they're like,
uh-huh.
I'm going to try this game. I never actually played it and I never wanted to until I saw this video. And I'm like, that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. The video is not for people that like the game. I mean, it sort of is, but the video is not even for the people that hate the game. The video is for people who have never played the game
mm-hmm.
and they are swayed by the hate or on the fence. You know, they hear all these negative things online because a lot of, you know, unfortunately, a lot of modern sentiment for these older games is negative.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing that you can go back and look at the reviews, which is why I put the review scores at the beginning. This is the initial reviews, like DK64, like 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 across the board. Banjo-Tooie, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 across the board. Modern today sentiment, everyone talking about how it's bad.
And it's hard to believe that these games are called now retro. Because it's 90s, but I grew up throughout the 90s. I was born literally in 89, the very end of 89, December 89. So the fact that I grew up through the 90s and to hear 90 games, 90s music, 90s television shows and movies, retro and classics, makes me feel so old.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like 25 years, 26 this year, I think it is, for Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah. Crazy. It's absolutely insane.
Next year, Banjo-Tooie is going to be 25.
Yeah. I hope they do something special for that.
Oh, they need to. They need to.
Nintendo Switch Online. That's what I want.
Yeah.
More than anything, just put that game on Switch Online.
Oh, I know. I've been searching that all the time. Like between that and the Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door release date, which we finally got, I've been like Googling like a madman. Is there any leaks anywhere?
Yeah.
A leak.
Yeah.
Let me know.
Just waiting for that content. Waiting for that content to drop.
Exactly. But when you come back on this show, I want to see a Jiggy Look Back YouTube trophy.
Oh, like a YouTube plaque?
Yes.
You're saying? Oh yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah. I think that is it 100,000 subscribers or 100,000 views?
It's subscribers. I know it's subscribers. I don't know. They have three of them. They have bronze, silver, gold, I think.
Oh, if it was 100,000 views, I would have had it. So never mind.
Yeah. I think it's four. I think it's bronze, silver, gold, and platinum, I want to say.
Okay. I don't know
what
the bronze
one is. How many subscribers do you have now?
About 5,000. Just under 5,000.
Yeah. So, because I think it's, I want to say 100,000 subscribers.
I think that's the silver button.
I think that's what I'm thinking, the silver. I think the bronze might be 50,000.
Okay.
And then
so shoot for bronze.
Yeah, and then gold I think is 500,000, and I think platinum is 1,000,000.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. So anybody watch this, because we have been at almost 2 hours.
It sounds about right.
Yeah, this is what happens when you geek out about Banjo-Kazooie, Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door, Banjo-Tooie, and all the other fun stuff, right? But before I let you go, though, anybody watching this, give Jiggy Look Back a subscribe on his YouTube channel. Very simple to find, right? Just type in Jiggy Look Back right on YouTube.
Jiggy Look Back, all one word, but honestly, you'll find me if you type in Jiggy Look Back. I think at this point it pops up right away. You'll see a little anime looking dude with a game cartridge with a Jiggy on it. That's me.
And I'm pretty sure that is the if you're watching this video, that is the image I have up on your thumbnail, that'll be popped up.
Yes.
So
Yes.
that'll be the one. So definitely give him a subscription. Give him the and watch his videos. His videos are actually really good. You
I
can
want to
tell there's a lot of work.
challenge. I want to challenge people on this
Okay.
one. I want, yes, do what you said. That would be very much appreciated. But if you come from this podcast, I want to see you just whatever my most recent video is, just go in and type in Slasher Scotty sent me in the comments.
There you go.
That's what I want to see.
There you go. I know a lot of, I don't even remember what my subscriber count was last summer when I last uploaded something. I might have lost some, I might have gained some. I know I have almost 600 now on this channel. My other channel has like almost 4,000. But I'm trying to get this one up.
Yeah. It comes
I
and
don't
goes.
even,
It comes in waves.
yeah, I don't know how many people even are looking out for videos from me. Because like I said, it's been almost a year. You're my first one in the year, and I do have another interview. It was supposed to be tomorrow, but it's been rescheduled to this Friday, unless it gets scheduled rescheduled again. That's gonna be with Carrie and Camila Moore. They are the what we all call in the horror industry the Doubleman twins, but they are Tina and Terry in Friday the
Oh.
13th, part four, the final chapter. And guess what? I met them last October and I danced with the twin like Crispin Glover at the VIP party. That
Oh,
was a lot.
that's awesome.
Yeah, so they will be on. I reached out to her and she's on my Facebook. Carrie's on my Facebook. Camila doesn't have Facebook. And Carrie said at Monster Mania to reach out for an interview. She would love to do one. I did it and we are setting one up. So hopefully
Very
this
cool.
Friday will work because tomorrow Camila got a job. She's going to be on set. She has so they emailed me a couple days ago and had a reschedule. So they said they're both going to be in Santa Monica, California together on Friday and asked if they can just do it together. And I'm like, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So that'll
Well,
be
I've
great.
never been in Friday the 13th, but I do like banjo, so
There you go. Yes. Absolutely. Yep. There you go. So thank you, Jiggy Look Back, for
Yeah.
joining me.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Before I let everybody go, if you're watching this on YouTube, give me a subscription. Like this video, comment, share on social media, do all that fun stuff. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, oh my God, it's been so long since I've done this. All the other podcasting platforms, you can listen to that, give them a subscription, a like, whatever, share it,
Yeah.
all that fun stuff. And then, of course, go to my merchandiser, Retro. Oh my God, it's been a long time since I promoted that as well. I will have all the information in the description, but you can get my merchandise slash Scotty signature shirts, all this stuff from my merchandiser. Get my book, The Ultimate Halloween Movie Experience, which was published by Bear Manor Media and has been set up and promoted by my agent from 3iBooks. So check that out. Forward from Jamie Lee Curtis and has dozens of interviews and thousands of trivia questions within. And I have a Slasher Scotty Funko Pop that was actually released last a year ago, last spring. So check that out. The guys at Funko Pops made a limited edition Slasher Scotty Funko Pop, and it is now available, so you can go on Funko Pop and get it.
That's awesome.
Yes, so all that and so much more. Like I said, give me a subscription here. And before you do that, go to Jiggy Look Back first and give him a subscription. Then come back to me because I know you want to come back to me.
You just pause the interview, pop out, come
Yes, and
back
then come
in,
back
and
and
then
hear
I'll
my
show you my
goodbyes.
shirt, okay? But right
Yes.
now you gotta go back, you gotta subscribe, okay? We'll wait.
Pause. Okay,
Okay,
welcome
and
back.
here's my shirt.
Oh, damn, that's really nice. I
I'm
love
trying
it.
to. I was trying to look for Banjo. He's somewhere.
Looking, I have bad
Or is
eyes.
that him? I'm trying to look in the camera. Or no,
No, I don't
that's
think that's
no, that's
him.
Major. Oh, there he is.
There
I
he
knew he was
is.
on here somewhere. There he is.
There he is. I see him. Love it.
Cheeky.
I love the shirt. If it wasn't cold in my man cave down here, I would have had my banjo shirt on, but I have to wear a hoodie. I'm freezing and it's like 30 degrees or 40 degrees out, and I'm really
This
cold.
Is the only shirt I have banjo on. It's nice. So funny. I have like just sporadic. I have several Conker shirts, and like I have I do have this though. This is kind of fun. Here we go. Show this too. Oops. Watch this chair. It's like a hoodie blanket. It was what was on my chair, why it looked fuzzy.
Nice.
It's the Adventures of Banjo and Kazooie. It looks like, you know, Batman animated series, but it's Banjo. It's just silly.
I think I showed you the rug I got, like the little rug I got of the Paper Mario Thousand Year Door Magical Map.
It was it's really cool.
That's really nice. I have it right over there. I can't get it up because everything's on.
It's like a rug.
But it's so huge and it's so beautiful. And my mom got me for Christmas a Banjo-Kazooie shirt and it says Jiggios on it. It's really cute.
Jiggios, yeah, I love it.
Really cute.
I'd eat that cereal. All right.
Thank you so much for joining me, Jiggy Look Back. You have a great rest of your night.
You too. Thanks
right,
for
thank
having
you,
me.
Buddy. Bye.
Bye.